Well, hey, Haley, it's really nice to meet you, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and spending a little quality time with our audience. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ben. I'm really excited to be here. Like you said, my name's Haley Griffin. I am a ski racer. That's like a how I like to introduce myself these days because I've worked really hard for it. And I never in my life thought I would say that. Yeah, so I'm a ski racer. I'm actually a professional skier. I've been paid to ski, which is also really cool. Only one time, not, all the time. But anyways, so I should add that I'm an adaptive racer, not just any kind of ski racer, but I ski and race in what's called a mono ski. So it's a piece of adaptive equipment that I sit in, and then I have outriggers. Let's see, I want to show you. Where is it? I have an outrigger on my arm.
Oh no, it's kind of hard. That's
It's kind of blurry. Anyways, outriggers, we use those. We put cuffs around our arms, and then they're kind of like little skis that we use to help us on the sides. But anyways, so I am in a mono ski because about 6 years ago I was in a car accident, a drunk driving car accident, and I was the one driving. Luckily, it was just me in the car. And also luckily, so I used to live up in this pretty secluded mountain town called Red Feather Lakes. It's like an hour northwest of Fort Collins, Colorado. Yeah, so middle of nowhere, an hour away from any hospital, and I get in this car accident. And luckily, my then boyfriend happened upon me in our other car and was like, "What? This is our car upside down on the side of the road." So he, you're not supposed to do this, but he pulled me out and drove me to the hospital. And turns out I had broken my spine in three places. One in my neck, I can't remember the exact spot, but and then two lower down, and the one that got my spinal cord was at L1. So I'm paralyzed pretty much from the knees down. I can feel, but I can't move anything from the knees down. And so yeah, I mean that sent me, I can't even really explain it, I went from being a waitress, an alcoholic, an able-bodied mother, a girlfriend, to suddenly just in a completely different body, in a completely different space. I had to relearn to do everything, so I think that, and then when I went home from the hospital, which is, I think a lot of people will agree, probably the hardest time for someone who's had an injury like that. It's because you're in the hospital and everyone's taking care of you and you have a schedule and you have everything you need right there. And then you go home and it's not only are you going back to something that's so familiar to you in your from your previous life, you're going back to, for me, somewhere where, I had a lot of community, but the guy I was with became abusive, and nobody around really wanted to step on any toes, I think. So I just felt very alone, and I had to still do everything, make dinner, which is, good. I'm huge on independence, but at the time, I really needed someone to just kind of step it up and help me out. But anyways, so the abuse made me really angry, and he kept telling me that I can't do all these things. You can't do this, can't do that anymore. Who's gonna want you anymore? And eventually I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? Screw that. I don't care anymore, you know, if somebody doesn't want me, if nobody wants me, that's better than what's happening right now, you know? So I kicked him out. You know, there's a lot more to that story, but eventually got him out, and moved to Crested Butte, Colorado, where they have the Adaptive Sports Center, which was the first adaptive program I went to. And that's where I learned how to ski. And I mean, it wasn't just that. The skiing was huge. I mean, that's, you know, in my mind, where it all started. I'm not sure what all of it is yet, but, you know, the adventure that I've been on since I told that guy to go screw himself. But yeah, I just found this amazing community there. I was able to meet other disabled people, which I think just, I mean, really saved me, you know. It is what I had been lacking in so many ways when I was up alone in the middle of nowhere. So yeah, from there, because I picked up skiing pretty easily, and I think that's because I skied as a kid, everyone, you know, was cheering me on, like, yes, you're so good at this, you should keep doing this, you should go to the Paralympics. And I had already been thinking about it, I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And yeah, so that started this, the wheels turning, so to speak. And the next year I moved to Telluride and learned how to ski moguls, and then you know, met even more really awesome disabled people who ski every day. So that was really good for my second season to be with people who ski every single day. And then at that point I felt like I had, you know, mastered my technique enough to start racing. So, because that was a big thing for me. A lot of people just immediately go into racing, which is fine. But I saw something in, you know, learning to ski the whole mountain first before getting into that. I just felt like maybe, you know, I could be better. I don't know what it was. But yeah, so that from there, I moved to Park City in the winter. Because I also have an almost 9-year-old, and he lives in Montrose. His dad and I share custody. So I'm back and forth a lot in the winters now because I guess always. But because Park City is about 7 hours away. So I drive that a lot. Yeah. But it's worth it. Yeah. So I now have 2 race seasons under my belt, and last season I, you know, finished first in a couple of races, and second and third in a couple as well. And so, you know, my hope is that after this next season, I'll make it onto the national team, and then the Paralympics, because they're coming up real soon. So yeah, I would say that's it.
It's a wild ride there, Haley.
Yeah, it has
no,
been.
I really appreciate everything, you know, opening up and being so vulnerable, and especially with candor of everything that's going on. And there are some things I'd love to kind of pick out and highlight mm-hmm. that I think are really important that you mentioned. Is the one was the returning home. I think that's where a lot of people, mm-hmm. even able-bodied, don't understand that, like you said, you're around all these medical people that can pretty much wait on you hand and foot. And that's kind of mm-hmm. roughly speaking, that's their job too, right? When you're in that setting. But then, like you said, you go home and it is just your home. So now what, right? You don't have right. all these people. And like you said, that's when the family's kind of got to step up. And fortunately, yeah. you didn't have that. But then, like you said, the independency thing is really a big thing, because that's really good for you guys, is to be able to do that. But like you said, it's the entrance. You're like, I kind of need to. But I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that's a good point to, you know, discuss, and that you brought yeah. up, that a lot of people don't understand that. Another thing I love, though, is like you said, when you found that skiing community, you felt like you found something you were missing. And so could you go into that a little bit? Because kind of the question I wanted to ask you when we were starting this was like, how really has skiing impacted your life? Because now you went from doing it growing up to now you're an adaptive skier. So I'd love to kind of understand that.
And I feel like I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around it because it really is such a it's a big deal, you know. And I
Yeah, it
think
is.
any of us who love these sports and love the outdoors can understand that. But I think so I'm gonna kind of touch on both because they're kind of connected. In that, yeah, when I first came home, I just felt so alone and like a burden and like no one understood. Because they don't. I mean, you can't understand a situation like being in that situation unless you are. And so finding that community and finding people who understand, and I think just it just helped me realize that, and I kind of already was realizing this, but it reinforced that just because I'm disabled or we're disabled doesn't mean that, it had like life has to be this frustrating thing. I don't know. And so, yeah, so seeing other people who are living it and I mean, yes, it's frustrating, of course, but moving through that frustration and finding the beauty in it or, something good to learn from it. I think a lot of us who are disabled, take that route. And I think that's really beautiful. So, I mean, if you can imagine being surrounded by people who are like that, it just, I don't know, it almost like awakened the humanity within me. Which is interesting because everybody, I feel like I've always been a good person. But I was also very wishy-washy and very flaky and kind of, yeah. So finding people who are motivated and who understand that life is hard but still beautiful, it's, I'm getting a little lost. Let me catch it again. Let's see.
You're doing great, by the way. And honestly, the just to get you off track, that awaken the humanity within you was the most beautiful line I've ever heard. I've never heard anything described
Thank
like
you.
that. And I love that because I have a similar situation but different. So I joined the military after high school, got out, and then I found the climbing community, and it just felt like I found a whole second family. And then through that climbing community, I found a mentor that got me on the physical therapy path. And then from there, I made all these other friends and I wouldn't be where I'm at. And so I can see and comprehend where you're coming from. And I've had that feeling and it's mostly in the outdoor community, which is very funny. And I'm not going to crap on other sports, but like it is very different. So I understand. I can see what you're saying.
It's I think there's just so much soul in those sports. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, so I think because we're giving to that, it gives back. I don't know. But yeah, that kind of got me back to where I was going. And I'm gonna lose it again. No.
You're good.
just that. Oh, I got it. Do. We're getting there. I don't know. I lost it. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Love it. Well, I tell you what, before we'll circle back to that, but could you describe the first time back on the slopes in the monoski? Like, what was that like?
Let's think. It was scary. I mean, and I remember, I think it was snowing pretty hard that day. And I was at Crested Butte, and it's pretty steep, that last hill, down to the bottom, for a beginner is pretty steep. But I also remember thinking, oh, I remember this feel, you know, because it feels very similar. I mean, the flow is very similar to four tracking, which is what we call, or no, I'm sorry, two tracking. Four tracking is with outriggers. Two tracking is what we call able-bodied skiing, or anyone with two skis. But, and just being really excited because the people who were teaching me were really excited, and I really like to go fast, and I'd gone fast on my mountain bike before that, but otherwise I hadn't been out of my chair, you know, other than to hobble around, which is, you know, not fast. That's actually, I'm just gonna, a little aside, that's one of my favorite things is hobbling up to my mono ski and then taking off, you know, like showing people, or I just imagine someone seeing me like, oh, what's going on over there? You know, is she gonna fall over? And then me getting in it and just, you know, I don't feel disabled when I'm in my ski, I guess is my point. Yeah, because I can ski just as well as anyone else. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction, right? That you say that because you have that freedom. And that's what I've heard a lot of people say about this. And it's mostly, it's a lot of climbers. Again, we're just going to stick to the outdoors industry because it's the best. Yeah. But like, that's how they say is like, I just feel like it's a freedom of expression and I get to express myself. And then, like you said, it's that freedom again. And I feel like me and it's not defined by X, Y, and Z. And so I love that you say that. And I love seeing that across the board too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So you went from your first time kind of hesitant, scary, and then now you've done it several times that you're actually ski racing. So how's that like transition and what did that pathway look like from getting on the slopes the first time, getting kind of used to it to now I'm like, I'm going to go race.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of hard work. And it took years. Like I said, I took 2 years to really learn how to mono ski. And that, you know, they always say peaks and valleys about life. And I feel that way about skiing too, you know, you have these really amazing runs and then you have really horrible runs where you have to, you know, unbuckle from the rig and have your friend ski it down the hill because you can't do it, you know, or you break both your outriggers and you can't ski. So, and that's why I love skiing so much. I think I might have already touched on this, but it's always a challenge, no matter what. As a, you know, going from a beginner to now a racer, I still feel challenged. I still feel like I can always be working on something or always get better somewhere. But as far as the progression with a mono ski, I don't know. Yeah, it's very difficult. So I always say that if you're going to mono ski, you have to really want it. Because it'll, it beats the shit out of you. But I think that's, or I know that's a big reason why I keep doing it too, because I love that fear. I think I'm addicted to it, you know, being at the top of a run, whether it's a race run or this really steep mogul run, because those are the two that really get me these days. You know, there's no turning back. I mean, you could always take the sled, but I don't want to do that, you know? So there's no turning back. You have to go down. And I like that because it's, constantly a challenge. I don't know if that answered your question totally, but
No, it's great. And I appreciate, you know, you kind of saying, you said some really good things that I think people need to hear about the challenge because you grow when you are challenged. And The beautiful fact is, you said you did this growing up, then you got into the monoski, and you just feel like you can always learn and you can always improve. And I think that's the, honestly, I feel like that's the key to life. But I'm curious, like, you spent 2 years, you're getting better at it, you're getting used to it. And so, what was your actual like training like? Were you in some gyms and stuff too? Because I think that's important to kind of talk about that people could love to hear. Is like, what was your training like? Do you get on some cardio machines? I think it's really good to talk about that training aspect because it's movement is medicine, essentially.
Actually, so before my skiing even, they teach you all about taking care of your body when you're in the hospital. I went to Craig Hospital in Denver. It's one of the best for spinal and brain injuries. And so yeah, they taught, sorry, I keep blanking out.
You're good.
There we go. So they, we have physical therapy going on every day, and they were getting me out. I went Nordic skiing. I actually went climbing as well. So I think that's really where that all started, because after I got out of the hospital, even with all that was going on, I mean, it definitely helped as well. I was doing all sorts of physical therapy at home, and getting on, what is it called? A stationary bike. 'Cause so if I have something around my ankles, I can pedal a bike. And it's a really good exercise for my legs. So I was doing that. I was working up to an hour every day on that bike. And then when I started skiing, for a little while, I got, oh, that's what it was. So one of my coaches, or one of my trainers at the Adaptive Sports Center, was telling me that, if I really want to kind of get on people's radars to get in this industry, it would help if I went to the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is in Dallas, Texas. And they initially started the gym for veterans, and I think it's pretty huge now. It was started by David Vibora and a number of others, but he's like the face. And so I did a 10-day hyper program with them, and it was a bunch of us adaptive snow athletes. I actually met Trevor Kennison there, and Ty Turner, and Michael Spivey, Matthew Brewer, a bunch of big names, Tyler McKenzie. So I think that really kickstarted my gym life, I guess, because they taught us, which muscles we want to be working and how we want to be working them. So, and now that I'm at the level that I am, I mean, I don't think you can, get past a certain point unless you are doing these things in the gym. So for the past couple of years, since I live in a van in the summers, I've been doing a lot of homemade exercises, like out of the van or at parks. I used a lot of parks, like playgrounds, to work out. And now this summer I've gotten a lot more serious, and I'm getting back in the gym and like actually lifting real weights instead of, whatever I can find. But I mean, besides it making me stronger, well, not even besides, but it's not just about training, because working out, I mean, if I didn't, I think I would be in a lot more pain. It's not even I think thing either. I know. I just, sometimes I forget because I get tired or whatever. But it always comes back around where I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like crap because I haven't done my bike for a few days or whatever it is, So, I think for disabled people especially, I mean for everyone, but for disabled people especially, keeping your body as strong as possible is really important for just independence, daily function, all of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's some really great advice that everybody needs to hear too and heed. just because it really does expand the quality of life and extend it.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about advice I would give to people who are struggling with going to the gym or whatever it is. And I think the reason I've been able to make a consistent change is because I took it in little bites. Like I said, I started at home, and then worked up to this, the Adaptive Training Foundation that I went to. And then, was doing, taking what they taught me and applying it to home workouts again. So kind of, I don't know, just not putting too much pressure on myself, which is a big thing for me. I, with my racing, with everything, like I can't put too much pressure on myself or I'm gonna flail. So maybe that's the advice. Don't put too much pressure on it. Just, work at your pace and eventually it'll get better. So.
Yeah, I think you hit that right on the head because people, we have a instant gratification society because of a lot of technology, which technology is not bad, it's just a tool, but you get that instant gratification like Amazon shipping in 2 days and things like that. And I mean, you just sat here and talked about you got back on the monoski and it's been 2 years and you're still, yeah, you have a good handle on it, but like you said, there's always improvement. And that's the thing with the gym, the goal is to keep going to the gym, not so. Yeah. A lot of advice. I'm loving it.
Sweet.
Okay. We've been hitting skiing a lot, which I know that's kind of your primary thing, especially being a racer and you're trying to get on the national team and you have Paralympics in mind, which you're gonna crush it. And so
Thank
can't
you.
wait to see that happen. But I noticed that on your Instagram you also do some mountain biking, and so we gotta go down that road. And I'm actually kind of curious because I talked to another mountain biker who's actually slowly getting into adaptive skiing, and I'm really kind of curious on your opinion of how those kind of cross over to each other when it comes to training and other things.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge. That's my sole, cross training, or my sole mode of cross training. Because, well, that and just a quick aside, wakeboarding's a lot like skiing too. But
Okay.
yeah.
Let's do it.
But mountain biking, I mean, okay, so I didn't mountain bike a whole lot this summer, but normally I mountain bike a lot. And the first couple of years, I think it was the most noticeable from the first year that I skied, and I had mountain bike before that, and then mountain bike the summer after that, and was doing like the they have an adaptive mountain bike world championship in Crested Butte. So I got a lot of training on that. Another aside, I really think it took me longer to master my bike than my ski. But yeah, I felt like after that first ski season, and then the summer, and then the next ski season, I felt like I had still been training all summer long because the mood, I it's just the balance is very similar, and the way you move your body to balance. So that was really cool, to discover that while I'm mountain biking, which I love, I can still be training for my skiing. But yeah. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, you're good. I just love hearing you talk. We could talk about outdoor sports all day, especially mountain biking and skiing. And I love that you'll always find either a skier, a mountain biker, climb, and it doesn't matter what outdoor sport, they're gonna have some other hobby because we just love doing it all. So it's just being outside is the greatest thing in nature.
Oh, totally. Okay, so I said all that I've said, but what really I think reminded me that life was not over after my accident was just sitting outside and watching my son ride his bike up and down my dirt driveway, and just realizing or noticing, I guess, the birds again and the wind, you know, just those little things. I think that's really what put that breath of life back into me at the very start. So I think that ties into why I'm so, you know, gung-ho about all these outdoor sports, because, you know, I get to do both of those things. I get to be in nature and go fast. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and then you get to bring your son along and teach him and all that other stuff, which is going to be a great time.
Yeah, actually, so speaking of mountain biking, this summer was the first time I went with the National Ability Center, which is actually who I train with or train through in the winters. But we did a team camp this summer, which was so fun. And my son got to go, and it was the first time we had ever mountain biked together. We had biked together a million times, but, you know, he's 8 and he has no sense or no real sense of like, this is going to really hurt. You know, I should probably slow down. So, but he did amazing and it was so fun. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. He loved it. He actually biked all the way up. I think it was, I can't remember how far we went, but I was like, wow, good job. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I love that, like, you know, you're just sitting there talking about your son. Like, I can just see you lighting up talking about it. And I think that's, I love seeing that. And, you know, kind of the out of box question, because I told you I had one, is I'm really curious, you know, what do you think is like the greatest lesson you've learned from your son?
From my son. Ooh, that is a constantly evolving thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's going to be a little complicated, but because of the trauma that I have from what happened after my accident, you know, and the abusive ex, I find that my son triggers me a lot because, you know, he's 8 and he's wild. I've raised him to be wild. So everyone, you know, every once in a while he'll give me this attitude or just be rude, which is normal, but I just find myself like flying into these rages. It's like, that's not me. I am not an angry person at all, but it's just these triggers that I have now. So I've been recently, learning how to, you know, work through that more. But I say it's constantly evolving because I think that's part of what having kids does, is it forces us to look at ourselves, whether it be because of, you know, what we're hoping to teach them, or because there's something we hope to teach them, but our actions are not mirroring that, you know, so then they're learning the opposite. And so you have to be like, well, wait a minute, what's really going on and why? Yeah, I mean, being a parent is hard, but it's amazing, you know? It's so fun. And, yeah, I've learned a lot about myself. That's just one thing, you know? But I've learned so much just because he's there. And I really think, as well, he kind of anchors me. 'Cause I'm, you know, I'm a rambling man. And he forces me to, you know, have a home base, have an anchor, which I think is good. It's a good balance. So he balances me. Yeah.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Thanks for sharing.
Well, yeah.
It's great that you said he anchors you, because, you know, you're doing the van life thing, it sounds like, in the summer. And, you know, like you said, you have a home base, and I think that's really important. A lot of people don't have that, and some people are at home, but again, they go back to, like you said, you were at home, but you felt alone, and you have people that are currently doing that and are in that, in a similar situation, which is really sad to see, but
yeah,
there's a way out of it.
There is. And that's, I think because you asked me to do this, I've been thinking a lot lately. Well, and because of certain other situations in my life, I've been thinking a lot about how do you get someone to have a revelation like I did without the huge blow up of your life, right? Because I think a lot of the time people have to have that too. Like, I needed that. I needed a smack in my face so that I, you know, found my humanity. I don't know what I'd be doing if that hadn't happened. So, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about how do you get people to get out of that without smacking them in the face, so to speak? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
I don't have the answer. And my perception and personal opinion on that matter is I think it depends on the person, and we'll say the universe is intelligent and knows mm-hmm. what every person can handle, maybe, yeah. if that's the way you want to go. But I feel like the smack in the face is, I feel like it's kind of needed. You know, it's like a kid that's 18 that gets kicked out of the house. I mean, that's a big smack in the face, but then mm-hmm. they end up doing incredible things. And mm-hmm. like, I'm like, you know, it took me a smack in the face. I think it was this, it's been a year. I lost a good relationship. I lost a job, and then I fell 7 feet climbing, and it was like, I got really lucky with the accident itself. But I mean, it was like the trifecta of like a lot of stuff happening in 1 year. And then luckily I'd already been accepted and got into PT school, but still it took like a reality check of like, I need to look at some things, you know, internally.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I guess, well, so the only conclusion that I can come to then is that, you know, suffering is necessary and that so much good can come out of it. Another thing that's been following me around lately, and now I'm just kind of rambling, sorry, but
yeah, you're good.
Is, you know, you got to give for what you take. What is it? I think it's the song Freedom by, oh my God, who is it? George Michael? Yeah, that says that. You got to give for what you take. And I think that has to do with that somehow. You know, you got to suffer a little to, or a lot, to realize these things and then become better. Yeah.
But well, yeah, because, no, I think you're right. I think it, you know, that's where you get the, like, adage that, like, you know, you have to be, what is it, comfortable with the uncomfortable, because the only thing that grows through stress, right? I mean, it's right. It's the simple way the body adapts to it. You provide a good stress to it and it grows. And so I think that's life itself. That's how it is. And it, I think it's a stress, but then I think it's wisdom over time, because like you're only on this, you get one go under the sun, let's be real. And so how do you want that go to go? Do you want it easy, or do you want a hard, incredible life that when you are on your deathbed, you can look back and say, I have little to no regrets. That was a great time. I met incredible people, made some choices, whatever it happened, but most of the choices were fantastic.
Yeah, that just gave me chills. I just got chills. Yeah, I would pick hard every time, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's the lesson people need to learn, is to choose hard, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like, I've been going down a road of like writing lately, and it's just like writing's so good because it just does so many good things, but it's so easy now to jump on like an AI to have it write something for you. Yeah. But it's like, it's not the same. You need to take that boring, what you might consider stupid route. If you want, it's not hard per se, but like sitting there trying to come up with something is hard. Sit there and try to write an essay just for the heck of it. And you're like,
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, Haley, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening and talking to us and sharing all your valuable insights and being so vulnerable with it. I really appreciate it. I know that can be hard to do, and something I'm trying to do is be more vulnerable and open and have a lot more candor. And so thank you for being a great guest. It was, I've had so much fun this evening.
Thank you. I had fun too. Yeah.
Awesome. And then, so I could take it, people can follow you on Instagram so we can see mm-hmm. your Paralympic journey coming up soon.
Yeah. Ooh. And I also, can I plug myself real quick? I don't normally do this, but I have, I've made a fundraiser recently for myself, because if I don't make it onto the national team, I think I can still go to the Paralympics or qualify, but I'll have to pay for everything on my own. So I'm just kind of having some forethought, and either way, the money will go to help me with gear or travel with the team or whatever it is. So that is in the link on my bio on my Instagram. So, yeah.
Perfect. And we'll put your Instagram in the links below on the video, especially on YouTube. And then we'll also link your GoFundMe too, just for the heck of it. And any other links you want to put on there as far as any of the adaptive organizations.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I also just say, I just want to say thank you to all the adaptive programs that have helped me. Is that okay? Is that all right?
Yeah, do whatever. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Let me see if I can remember all of them. So I want to say thank you to the Adaptive Sports Center in Crested Butte, the Telluride Adaptive Sports Program in Telluride, the National Ability Center in Park City, Utah, Wasatch Adaptive, which is in Little Cottonwood Canyon at Snowbird. Who else? Oh, the Go Hawkeye Foundation. He's based out of Telluride. They helped me to fund my ski. The High Fives Foundation, everybody should check them out. I mean, everybody should check out all these foundations, but they help adaptive athletes to get back into sport after they've been injured in sport. I was not injured in sport, but I was able to get in on a grant cycle where they were looking for adaptive athletes who want to get into sport. Anyways, they've helped me immensely. The Sisters in Sports program, or Sisters in Sports Foundation, who is headed by Danielle Umstead. She's amazing. I love her. And I think that might be it. If I think of any more, I'll comment down below or something like that.
That works for me. Now, whatever, you send me some links of the ones you want and we'll make sure they get on posted. Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Awesome.